Hi, I'm Gabriel. I'm lead pastor of Grace Communion, Richardson. And I just want to welcome you to our worship stream today. Here at Grace Communion, Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through community or neighborhood engagement, all flowing out of the compelling love of God poured in our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We welcome you, and we welcome your prayer requests if you have any. You can see on the screen the address to send any prayer requests that you may have. We are also more than willing to hear from you in terms of your comments. So if you have any comments to share, we would love to read them as well. I have been sharing with you about our values, the values that we hold as a church congregation. I've been sharing these with you over the past few weeks. These values flow from our identity in Jesus, who Jesus is, what he stands for, what he commands us and teaches us. Last week, I shared about the importance of living out these values and the fact that these values are summed up in love. And so the values that we live that flow from our identity in Jesus is encapsulated in love. That living out Jesus's love every day means living out his love, living for others and not self. Today I will share with you our congregational vision and mission with a focus on our vision. And then the next time we'll look at specifically our mission. But the vision that flows from God's vision for all of humans, which is in Jesus Christ. As I continue this series, I'm sharing with you messages about who we are in Jesus, how that informs our unity in diversity, our love relationships, our sharing of life together as children of God, because God did not intend for any of us to do life alone. At this stage, I want to welcome you to a praise song from our praise team, and then we will have prayer and scripture reading and a word of thanks for your generous financial contribution to our gospel effort. And then we will come back for the main message. Please stay with us.
To all. Please pray with me. Father God, we come to you knowing that you're trustworthy, knowing that you're good, and knowing that you're in control. We need you, Lord. There's so much shaking in the world, so many things that we're concerned about, so many things that we don't understand, and so many uncertainties. And we know we can trust you in these things, and we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we think now of those that we know who are sick. We bring their names to you, and we ask you for healing. We think of those now, Lord, that have lost jobs or need employment or more employment or better employment. Lord, we bring their names before you, and we ask you to act and to provide. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign and that you are working in this pandemic time in ways that we might not understand, but we know that we can trust you in it. And we ask you, Lord, to take away the virus, to destroy it, and to restore, Lord, our nation and the nations of the world. Lord, there's elections coming up in our country and in other countries. We ask you to preside over those elections. We ask you for peace. Lord, we pray for those who are anxious, those who are feeling depressed with the uncertainties and struggles that they're facing. Lord, we ask you to come into those dark places, bring your comfort, bring your light, and bring peace. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being big enough to bring to you all the things that concern us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent."
All right, now I want to take a minute to express sincere thanks to Grace Communion Richardson members and our supporters, and the number of you out there who share our values, for your generous financial support to help us in our gospel efforts. Your financial donations are tax deductible and they are very helpful. If you want to know how to help, you can see the various ways that you can do so on our screen. Thank you so much for your engagement with the work of the gospel. God bless. Now we're getting into the main message, and I'm glad you are here with us for this important message. I've been saying this, and I'll keep on saying it, because this series is about this, and that is that at Grace Communion Richardson, we claim our identity in Jesus Christ as our primary identity. Now, we know that we have other identities. As human beings, we are more than just one thing. But Jesus, our identity in Jesus, is our primary identity. It informs our values and our vision and mission as a church. And our vision is to know Jesus and to make him known, joining him in making disciples through relationships of love. Now, you heard me say that Grace Communion Richardson here, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known. I basically say this in every of the messages that have been given. And that is deliberate, that is intentional, because we do not want to forget that vision. We are here, we believe, God has put us together as a congregation, as a church, to live out that vision of knowing Jesus in relationships of love and making him known in relationships of love. And that is the vision that we have. And in doing so, we believe that we are joining Jesus in making other disciples, in bringing others into this journey of love relationships. And our mission is to live out this vision of knowing Jesus and making him known through worship, family fellowship, and community or neighborhood outreach or engagement. And we do all of this, friends, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not something that we do on our own or can do on our own, because this is a God thing. It is what God is doing, we believe, that he's invited us to participate in. So today I want us to look at our vision and mission with more focus on the vision part. And then next time we'll have a bit of focus on the mission part. You know, in Proverbs chapter 29 and in verse 18, I think those who are biblically literate are aware of this passage because it's commonly used. Where there is no vision, the proverb says, the people perish. That's in the King James Version of Proverbs 29, verse 18. Other translations would say, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. What is vision? We're talking about biblical vision. But what is it? What is vision? Vision is revelation. It is, in one sense, you can say it is like a dream for the future that you have, a projecting or imagining a value into the future. Vision is seeing clearly what could be from what is, based on your values. And that's why we started with talking about our values, what we believe in, and the fact that these values are flowing from Jesus and our identity in him. Jesus is the center of the center, the core of everything that we are, that we do, that is of importance, of significance, that is of lasting, positive consequences. So vision flows from values. It's a picture, an imagining of what the future could be like, projecting your value into the future that is in a good, positive, motivating and inspiring way. That's what a vision is. You know, we sometimes use the word dream colloquially to also refer to as vision. Like Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream and the speech that he gave. That is basically sharing his vision of what racial relationships could look like in this country when he gave that I Have a Dream speech. So vision is something that in many ways is larger than the present circumstances. It's in many ways the ideal of what we're looking for. And in this instance, we are looking at a vision that is not just ours, but a vision that is from the vision that God has for all of humanity. And that is what we are going to be focusing on. So our vision as a church to know Jesus and to make him known, joining him in making disciples through relationships of love. This flows from our identity in Jesus, what Jesus is about, and what he invites us into to participate in him together. Now, I want to start by reading John chapter 17. In John 17, and beginning, well, we'll just read from verse 2, you know, in verse 1, Jesus started praying to the Father, even as he was in the middle of sharing with his disciples. He's preparing them for his departure through Calvary. And at this point in his discourse with the disciples, which is really more of a monologue, occasional dialogue in it, but at this point, this started from chapter 13 of John. So you have chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. This is where Jesus is pouring his life into his disciples just before his crucifixion. And in chapter 17, he actually starts praying to the Father. So we see here that Jesus is not averse to public prayer. We see many examples of that. But in verse 2, verse 1 says, Jesus, after saying this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Verse 2, and we are really focusing on verses 2 and 3. For you, that is the Father, granted him, that is Jesus, authority over all people, that he, Jesus, might give eternal life to all those you, God the Father, have given him. So, Jesus is saying here in his prayer that God has granted Jesus the authority to give eternal life to all that God, the triune God, gives to him. And that is how we see the vision God has for humanity. And what is that? That God wants to share his life with all of humanity through Jesus, who makes it available. And so in verse 3, Jesus then goes on in his prayer to the Father to explain what eternal life is, what constitutes eternal life. And he says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, he says. Now, God's vision is to share his life with us through Jesus. And Jesus is describing this life that is eternal as a knowing who God is and Jesus, whom God has sent. That is to say, eternal life involves a relationship, a knowing. And this is the vision that God has for all of humanity, that we may know our Creator, who is revealed in Jesus Christ. And this knowing is made possible by Christ through the power of His Spirit in loving relationships. Because one of the first things that we come to know about God is not only that he is a creator and he's a sovereign and he's the great I am, he's the almighty and he's the all-powerful, but that also he is love. You know, I teach that there are three eternal truths about God. Now, there are more than three, I suppose, but I just boil them down to these three. One, God is indeed sovereign. God is almighty. God is the great I am. God is the sovereign one who is in charge, and he does not abdicate his authority. That's eternal truth number one. That has not changed and will never change. That has been before we came on the scene as humans, before we were created. Eternal truth number two is that God is what? Love. God is benevolent. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is caring. God is a provider and protector. God is good. That's eternal truth number two. That also is who God is, and that does not change, and that is how and who God is before we humans came on the scene or were created. And that is not changed and will never change. Eternal truth number three is that God is worthy. God is worthy of our attention, our time, our praise, our sacrifices, our worship. That is an eternal truth in terms of God's majesty and glory and God's omnipotence and everything else that God is that is majestic. God is worthy. All these three eternal truths coexist and cohere together simultaneously. You cannot have one without the other. Right? They are who God is. You can't separate them from who God is. And so when Jesus says that this is eternal life, that we may know God and Jesus whom he has sent, that's a vision of us having a relationship of love with God that continues. And God is so big that we need eternity for that knowing to occur. And so eternal life is about a continuous relationship of knowing, Jesus says in verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus whom you have sent. And this is where we get our vision statement from. You know, at Grace Communion Riches, we seek to know Jesus and then to make him known. We'll look at the make him known part very soon. Now, I said that Jesus is love, and that is who God is, and Jesus reveals who God is. And so Jesus in chapter 13, before, in John chapter 13, a few chapters back, before we read what we've read in chapter 17, describes this essential nature of love that God is, that God intends to share with humans, to share with you, to share with me through Jesus. So in John chapter 13 and in verse 34, this is what Jesus said. And he says this to his disciples, but by extension, because we want to make more disciples, that's his business, making more disciples to share in this relationship. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Verse 35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So we see here that Jesus is saying that he is love, and his lifestyle of love is how we are also to live. That is what identifies those who follow him from those who are not yet following him, a lifestyle of love. And this is kind of what we talked about earlier when we said that the values that we share in Jesus helps us to live life for others rather than live life for self. There are two main lifestyles in this world, friends. A life for others or a life for self. And God lives a life for his creation. It's not a life for self. It's a life that is of great desire to share who he is with us. And he provides everything that is needed to make that possible, to the extent of giving up his son to be the way, the truth, and the life for that relationship that he desires with us. So that's the vision God has for all of humans. And it is from this that we have our congregational vision flowing from, to know Jesus and to make him known through relationships of love. So the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, desires to give us eternal life. This eternal life involves knowing God through loving relationships and through Jesus Christ, who is the epitome, the embodiment of who God is. It is about relationships of love and joy in his Son, Jesus, as God's own children. That's God's vision for humans. That's our destiny. We were created and brought into this life for this purpose, that we may have a relationship of love and joy with God as his children through Jesus Christ and by the power of his Spirit, to his honor and to his glory. That's our destiny. That's the vision that God has for you and for me. And in John chapter 17, if we drop down a few more verses, again, we are looking at this incredible, beautiful vision, this dream, if you like, that God has for all of humans, from which we have our congregational vision flowing from. And so in verse 22, John chapter 17, we drop down a few verses to verse 22. We had read verses 1 through 3. Now verse 22 says, "I have given them," Jesus still praying to the Father, and that them here is the disciples, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, verse 24, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So Jesus here explicitly, as it were in conversation with the Father, rehashing this vision that the triune God has for humans, that they want to share life with us, that we will be with Jesus and with the Trinity from the very beginning of the creation. That has been the plan. And Jesus says here that part of that is sharing in that love that the Father has had for him before the creation of the world. And so we see here an incredibly beautiful vision that God has for humanity. And this vision is to share life together with his own creation, to lift us up to his level, as it were, to lift us up to share in his glory, as Jesus says, to lift us up to be one with him in life, in relationship of love, of joy. That's the vision. That's the destiny. And that is where our small part in terms of a congregational vision flows from. When we say we will seek to know Jesus and to make him known. And in Hebrews chapter 2, again, you are fleshing out God's incredible vision for us. In Hebrews chapter 2 and in verses 9 through 13, the writer of Hebrews is echoing what we just read that Jesus is talking about in John chapter 17. Hebrews chapter 2 and beginning from verse 9. The writer of Hebrews has been quoting the Psalms, describing the incredible destiny that God intends for us as humans to share with himself and with each other. In the second chapter of Hebrews and in verse 9, he goes on to say, you know, after saying, quoting the Psalms, that, you know, David was astounded about this vision, about God's incredible focus and love and desire for a relationship with human beings. And he was asking, what is man? What is human beings that you are so focused on him in Psalm 8, I believe? Why are you so focused on human? Why such an incredible love and interest with human beings? And so the writer of Hebrews quoted that. And then in verse 9, he says that we do not yet see, the preceding verses, he said, we do not yet see this consummation, this fulfillment of God's vision. But what we see, verse 9, is Jesus. But we do see Jesus, the writer says in verse 9, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, just like us. In other words, he was incarnated and took on flesh like us. We see Jesus now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that by the grace of God, he, Jesus, might taste death for everyone. And then he goes on to say, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, so that's another way of describing this vision of God sharing his life of love and joy with us, the writer of Hebrews describes it as bringing many sons and daughters into glory because God is glorious. And to share life with God is to share his glory. And so we are being brought into the glorious life of God. And it's not just for males alone or for females alone. The writer of Hebrews says it's for both what? males and females, i.e. sons and daughters. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation, that these sons and daughters, perfect through what he suffered. And so God suffered in the person of his son, Jesus. Jesus suffered. He went through Passion Week and he went to Calvary on our behalf. Verse 11, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them us brothers and sisters. In verse 12, he says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. This is a powerful, incredibly beautiful vision of what God intends for us as human beings. So you see, friends, God brought us into this world for a purpose. We are not here by chance. We are here for a destiny that God has in mind. And that destiny involves sharing his life with you and with me in an eternal relationship of knowing, in an eternal relationship of love, in an eternal relationship of joy. That is all encapsulated in Jesus Christ, who is embodied with this vision and this destiny. Jesus is the perfect expression of God's desire for us. And Jesus is the perfect expression of God's best life for us. He's the ideal, and it is from him that we have this incredible vision being lived out, being accomplished. And it has already been accomplished in him. It is accomplished in him for us. And it's being lived out in our acceptance, in our joining, in our participation in that which God has already done in Christ on our behalf. So these scriptures I just read are all describing a bringing sons and daughters into relationship of love, into glory, as the writer of Hebrews describe it. So we have these various descriptions of the same vision, life together in joy and in love. In Luke chapter 13, another way that this vision is described is in Luke chapter 13. And so we see here that this life together, called eternal life, that God wants to share with us, of relationship of love and joy, is also described as bringing many sons and daughters into glory. It is described as having a unity, a oneness in relationship with Jesus and with Father through the Spirit. And here's another description in Luke chapter 13 and in verse 29. Luke 13, verse 29, if I can get there quickly enough. This is what Luke describes it as. Luke 13 and in verse 29. It says, people will come from east and west, breaking into Jesus's sharing with a crowd around him at that time. And Jesus says this, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. So this life together is described also as a sharing in the kingdom of God. Now, those of you who are familiar with the Bible and read the Bible, if you read the Gospels, you come across this expression, this term, a lot, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God describes the reign of God and the God's life and influence that permeates his entire creation. And it is a life and influence of love that permeates the entire creation. It is captured in who Jesus is, because he's the king of that kingdom. He's the central focus of that kingdom. And so who Jesus is and how he expresses himself and how far that expression of self of Jesus goes describes the kingdom of God. And we are invited to be a part of it. And the church is a part expression of that kingdom of God. And we are called to be in the kingdom of God when we are in Jesus Christ, the King of that kingdom. So a sharing with us includes expanding the kingdom of God, flowing from God's vision and mission, friends, to share eternal life with us, eternal life of love and joy with humans in Jesus through his Spirit, is an expansion or our inclusion into the kingdom of God. So our vision statement goes on to capture that. And that part is where we say, make him known. So we start with, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known. To make him known is this part of participating with and joining with Jesus in bringing people into his kingdom. In making disciples is another way of describing it. In bringing many sons and daughters into glory. This process is also captured in our vision statement when we say to know Jesus and to make him known, joining him in making disciples through relationships of love. It is a vision of accepting and pursuing a personal and corporate or communal relationship of love with the triune God and with others. So our vision captures that. Our vision states that we desire to accept the invitation of Jesus and to pursue a personal as well as a communal relationship of love with the triune God, with Jesus through his Spirit, and with others. It is a commitment that we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because to know Jesus is a commitment to grow. Because Jesus is not known just like that. It is not a knowledge that we can have overnight. Jesus, God, Father, Son, and Spirit are so huge. They are so mysterious. They're so big that it is going to take eternity to know him. And that is why we need eternal life. And when we talk about eternal life, I talked about this a few Sundays ago. Eternal life is describing a timelessness, an existence that is not subject to time. It's not subject to a beginning and end. It is not subject to chronos life. Eternal life, as we are describing, as God visions to share with us, is a kairos existence. It's an existence that is present and goes on in the present without an end. And that is why we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And that's what Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. I'm not going to turn there. That we as followers of Jesus, as people who have accepted and captured this vision that God has for humans, that we grow in our relationship. And that growth in relationship, he describes as a growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And we share the same with one another and with our community and with our neighborhood, this desire of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. So, are you beginning to get a picture here? A picture of who God is and what his vision is for humans. And it is out of this picture that we source our little part in it And that little part, that vision, out of God's overarching vision that we have, we call to know, describe it as to know Jesus and to make him known. Joining him in making disciples through relationships of love. And then out of that flows our mission. Because when you have this dream of what the future could look like, when you have this revelation of what the ideal life could look like, then you have to have a mission. A mission describes how you are going to get there generally. So a vision paints a picture of what could be. It's an inspiring, motivating picture. And a mission begins the process of figuring out the steps to get there. Right? So when we talk about vision and mission, we're talking about a holistic approach in having a relationship of knowing Jesus that includes including others in that relationship. And that's where the mission comes in. And we'll focus more on that next time. So to have our identity, to have your identity in Jesus Christ, is to know and accept him, to be a new creation in him. That is to leave behind your identity and accept his identity. That is your best identity in him. To accept Jesus as the ideal image of God's best life for you and for me. Accepting his life in our hearts, in your heart, in your mind, through his spirit. And all of this is made possible through the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot do anything that is of significance, of consequence, of lasting value. Identity in him means living out what he says and what he stands for. Accepting him as your brother, as your friend, as your Lord and Master and Savior, as the King of your life. And accepting him as you being his disciple, willing to join him in making other disciples to his honor and to his glory. That is what it means to have your identity in Jesus. And that's what we accept as a church congregation. We recognize our identity in Jesus and love relationships as holistic. It is spiritual, it is emotional, it is physical, it is material. It's not just one thing, it's all of it. Because Jesus encompasses all of life. We don't have dichotomies. We don't have walls between this aspect of our lives and that aspect of our lives. There's no separation between sacred and secular. Because all of life is impacted by who Jesus is and what he stands for, what he teaches and commands us, what he values. And so it is participating in Jesus, his love style, his love lifestyle of living for others, as opposed to the human inclination, which is natural since the fall, of living for self. We share in this vision and mission of Jesus as we claim our identity in him. So what about you? Are you willing to share in God's vision for you? God's mission in Jesus for you? Are you willing to participate in Jesus' vision and mission of making disciples, of sharing a life of love and joy forever, of bringing many sons and daughters into glory? Are you willing to pursue growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus personally and with others in community? I pray you do. And I hope and I pray that you will reach out to the one who invites you to this, whose vision is for you. That you reach out to Jesus, that you have a conversation with him, that you ask him how to accept and how to participate in this incredible, beautiful vision that he has for you. Accept that invitation and go to him, friend. Reach out to others if you need help. We desire to do this life together, holding on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith and of this race that he has invited us on, which he has completed on our behalf, but working it out with us, in us, and through us to the honor and to the glory of God. Amen. Now I want to invite you to join our praise team for a concluding praise song. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next time as we together seek to know Jesus and to make him known, sharing his love and his hope to a world and a nation that is in desperate need of it. Let's join the praise team for a closing song, and I'll see you next Sunday, God willing. God bless.
Go on.
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.